If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
This is sad. This would have been Suzanne Summers' 77th birthday.
Yeah, today.
Yeah.
Today would have been. She passed away yesterday. A bit of a shock, although she has talked about her 25-year battle with breast cancer in the past. It seemed like it was in remission. She'd gone through treatment several times, said that, you know, she's ready for another battle anytime that it would pop back up again, but this time it came back with a fury and took her life. She was surrounded by family and friends at her home, who had actually gathered to celebrate her birthday, and it turns out that they were there, as they're calling it, for a celebration now of her life. She's known for so many things, mostly in television, of course, becoming a household name as Chrissy Snow on Three's Company, 1977 to 81, where she had sort of the dumb blonde role. And she was one of the first actresses that I can think of that really, you know, talked about equal pay with her male co-stars. John Ritter was making like $150,000 an episode, which is, you know, quite a bit of money, certainly back then in the late 70s. She was making, Suzanne Summers was making about 50, so about one-third of what he was making. She demanded a raise. They said no and fired her, and that's why she wound up leaving that show. She went on to several other television roles as well. And I'd forgotten about her role till I was looking at her bio this morning. Remember the mysterious blonde in the T-Bird?
Yeah.
In American Graffiti? That was really one of her first times on screen. Boy, talk about a cameo, but what an impact that it still makes after all these years.
Yeah, in the White Thunderbird, she had one line, "I love you," right?
Yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss, yep, was looking for her everywhere.
Yep.
I am affected by this because I love the old Superman TV series, and the first Lois Lane passed away at 96, huh?
Yeah, I was also very obsessed with Superman. I was convinced that I could fly. If only I had a cape, that I also would be able to fly. So I climbed up on our garage roof once with the towel wrapped around my neck and tried. Not a good idea.
You weren't the only kid who did that.
Yeah, then I was convinced. Well, it was a towel. It wasn't a real cape. That's why I couldn't fly.
Sure.
But Phyllis Coates was the first Lois Lane in The Adventures of Superman, a great television show that I still enjoy watching. Interestingly, she also became, it got kind of controversial for her, because she did not feel that she was compensated properly. This is back in 1951, where, you know, she didn't feel like a woman on the show was being compensated the same way that a man was. So she only, although extremely memorable to me, at least anyway, she was only on the show for one season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Noelle Neal took over the role until the show ran for six seasons. A seventh was planned. But Christopher Reeves mysteriously passed away.
George Reeves, right?
Passed away in 1959. But anyway, Phyllis Coates, 96 years old, had a pretty good career after Superman as well. But that's how we will best remember her.
And how many billions of dollars did the Taylor Swift movie make this weekend?
Just about. Not a surprise that it was a huge box office success. Here in the U.S., it took in $96 million for the opening weekend. That makes it the highest-grossing concert film of all time. She breaks the record set by Michael Jackson's This Is It. That made $74 million back in 2009. Globally, it brings the total up to $128 million for the Eras Tour Taylor Swift movie. She, genius in marketing, we were talking about this the other day, makes a quick cameo on Saturday Night Live, introducing Ice Spice, the musical guest this past week, just to remind people that she had a movie out there, and her NFL boyfriend, Travis Kelce, also did a little cameo on SNL as well.
All right, we'll check the Taylor Swift tote board again tomorrow. Thank you much, Dean.
See you then.
It was a different start for Saturday Night Live over the weekend, their first new broadcast in 6 months. It began with this message from Pete Davidson.
This week we saw the horrible images and stories from Israel and Gaza. And I know what you're thinking. Who better to comment on it than Pete Davidson? Well, in a lot of ways, I am a good person to talk about it because when I was 7 years old, my dad was killed in a terrorist attack. So I know something about what that's like. I saw so many terrible pictures this week of children suffering, Israeli children and Palestinian children. And it took me back to a really horrible, horrible place. And, you know, no one in this world deserves to suffer like that, you know, especially not kids, you know. After my dad died, my mom tried pretty much everything she could do to cheer me up. I remember one day when I was 8, she got me what she thought was a Disney movie, but it was actually the Eddie Murphy stand-up special Delirious. And we played it in the car on the way home, and when she heard the things Eddie Murphy was saying, she tried to take it away. But then she noticed something. For the first time in a long time, I was laughing again. I don't understand it. I really don't, and I never will, but sometimes comedy is really the only way forward through tragedy. You know, my heart is with everyone whose lives have been destroyed this week. But tonight, I'm going to do what I've always done in the face of tragedy, and that's try to be funny. Remember, I said try. And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
And that's how they started the broadcast Saturday night on NBC. That was a good idea. They really, I mean, they had to acknowledge what everyone was thinking before you could move on to the rest of the show. Although I kind of thought that Lorne Michaels would have done something more later in the show, maybe in Weekend Update. But it was good that he had Pete Davidson do that. Also in entertainment news today, it's the end of the DVDs. Just about. Netflix mailed its last red envelope DVD last month. Now, Best Buy says they will stop selling DVDs and Blu-ray discs at the end of this holiday season this year. Best Buy says that streaming has made DVDs obsolete, and it can use physical space in its stores and warehouses for tech products in higher demand. Best Buy's statement read, "To state the obvious, the way we watch movies and TV shows is much different today than it was decades ago. Making this change gives us more space and opportunity to bring customers new and innovative tech for them to explore, discover, and enjoy. Best Buy does not break out its sales from DVDs, but they currently have 24,000 DVDs listed on their website. The company has shrunk down aisles of DVDs in recent years. Best Buy's exit from the market leaves Walmart, Amazon, and Target as the top retailers stocking DVDs. Walmart reportedly controls 45% of the market for DVDs." Yeah, we watch everything on the stream, but I was cleaning up some stuff around the house over the weekend and found some DVDs that I bought a long time ago and never watched them. I think they were still in the original shrink wrap. And one thing I enjoy about DVDs is the extras. So, yeah, you can stream just about anything, but what about extras? You don't get those on the stream, right? So I think I'll miss that on the DVD. But they're still around, but not for long.